please. Thank you. Thank you all. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from, again, from the New Testament, from the book of Acts. Today we're looking at chapter 16, starting at verse 25. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible this morning. You can follow along in the Bible you brought in whatever translation, or you can look to the screen, which is also the New Revised Standard Version. The Apostle Paul and his friend Silas and several others were on Paul's second missionary journey. In verse 25 in chapter 16, it reads, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison they were in were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains fell off. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They answered, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that they had become believers in God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for all that you have done for us, and we pray, Lord, that you will continue to show your love and grace in our lives. Help us, Lord, to know your blessings. And Lord, help us be persons who can share your blessings with others, who can let your blessings flow in our lives and flow through our lives to touch the lives of others, for Jesus' sake. And now as we spend a few minutes to look at your word, to pray as we have been praising you and worshiping you already in this hour, we pray, Lord, that we will know your presence among us and that we will know your grace and your strength. Lead us and guide us now and always. Help us, Lord, to become the people that you want us to be. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Little Eddie had great faith that God would answer his prayers. One night, his mother sat beside his bed as Eddie kneeled at the bed to say his prayers. And this is what he said. He said, "God, bless Mama and Daddy and Aunt Kate, and please make St. Louis the capital of Missouri." Well, his mother looked at him a little skeptically and said that, "Eddie, what moved you to pray for that?" And Eddie, as he was getting under the covers and snuggling under his blanket, said, "Because that's what I put on my examination paper at school." When life's challenges confront us, we often need a simple but a profound faith like Eddie's. That was the case of Paul and Silas, as we read about them in the book of Acts. Now, what we read, we sort of picked up the story in the middle of the story. They were in trouble. They were in prison. How did they get into that predicament? Well, you got to remember what happened in the first 15 verses of the chapter. Paul and Silas were on Paul's second missionary journey, traveling in what is now modern-day Turkey. And Paul received a vision calling him to preach the gospel of Christ in northern Greece. So they went there, they crossed the Bosphorus Straits, I think it was still called then, and they got to the city of Philippi, and while Paul was preaching the gospel in the city of Philippi, he was very annoyed about a slave girl. She was possessed by a demon, and she made fun of Paul and all of his missionary party. Now, Paul, as I said, had a missionary party. Silas was the most prominent member, but there are four or five others who were traveling with them. They were having meals together, praying together, and preaching the gospel together. Paul and Silas, Paul most prominently was preaching, but Silas was doing some and the others were too. Well, Paul was just irritated and thought that this little slave girl who was demon-possessed should not be doing this. So Paul called the demon to come out of her. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, leave this girl. And the demon did so. In the name of Jesus Christ, he had to. And so the girl immediately began to calm down. She was released from being possessed by a demon. Now she was saved. She trusted Jesus as her Savior. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? That sounds great. But you got to remember, she was a slave. She was owned by some other human beings, some Greek merchants. And they made a lot of money off of her fortune-telling and her crazy demon possession actions. And now that income was gone because she'd been redeemed. She had been saved and released from the demon. So her owners felt that they had a legitimate complaint against Paul for ruining one of their money-making businesses. So they had Paul and his friend Silas arrested on some trumped-up charges, no doubt. But still, they had them arrested and thrown in prison overnight. Well, that doesn't seem fair, does it? Paul and Silas were being punished, were being condemned for doing a good deed, for preaching the gospel, for releasing a girl from her demon possession. And yet, that was true then and is still true today. A lot of times, the things that happen to us, that other people do to us or that just seem to happen to us, don't seem fair. I mean, our car gets wrecked or our daughter gets in a car wreck or we lose a job or something happens that is not our fault. What are we to do about it? Well, the Bible tells us that our trials and difficulties can actually make us stronger. In Romans chapter 5 and in James chapter 1, Paul and James both tell us that our trials and tribulations can be burdens for now, but they can also make us stronger, give us strength and a hope that does not disappoint, a hope in Jesus Christ. Difficulties and trials can make us stronger, and that's not just illustrated in the Bible, but in everyday life and in the lives of, well, let me tell you about these Soviet cosmonauts. In December 1987, a Soviet cosmonaut returned to Earth after 326 days in orbit. That's about 11 months in orbit above the Earth in microgravity. He was in good health, which hasn't always been the case for cosmonauts in those record-breaking voyages. 5 years earlier, two cosmonauts returned to Earth after 211 days in space, and they suffered dizziness, high pulse rates, heart palpitations. They couldn't walk for a week. And even after 30 days, they had atrophied muscles and weakened hearts. That's because at zero gravity, the muscles of the body waste away because there is no resistance. There's no gravity pulling them down so that they have to strengthen their muscles to stand up, to walk around, to do things. Everything. And so, because of the problem of zero gravity, Soviet scientists prescribed a vigorous exercise program for the cosmonauts. Now, astronauts even today, a couple decades later, still use a very rigorous exercise program when they're in the International Space Station. But the Soviet scientists invented something for the next Soviet cosmonaut called the penguin suit. It's a running suit with elastic bands throughout it. It resisted every move the cosmonauts made, forcing them to exert their strength. And apparently the regimen worked. So sometimes we long for the days when we'll have few troubles or no more problems or troubles at all. But God knows better. The easier our life, the weaker our spiritual fiber becomes, for strength of any kind only grows by exertion and struggle. Paul and Silas found that their faith was more than enough to overcome their troubles if they had faith in one true Lord and God. So Paul and Silas exerted their faith in God. They sang hymns. That's where we began this morning in verse 16 and in reading about that. I'm sorry, in verse 25. They sang hymns and they prayed. As you remember from our Bible lesson then, God delivered them with an earthquake. Paul and Silas didn't give in to despair. They trusted God. They trusted God. They trusted God and obeyed God, and their faith was a great witness to the other prisoners. After the quake hit, then, he says the jailer was about to kill himself. Why was he going to do that? Well, you got to understand Roman law. Roman law in that day said that a jailer who let his prisoners escape would have to serve out their term. If the whole prison, everybody in the prison was going to escape, which this Philippian jailer assumed, he might as well kill himself. He'd have to offer his life or else someone else in his family as recompense for the escape of all the prisoners. And so he was ready to kill himself. And yet, Paul and Silas talked the jailer out of it. And he was so impressed with Paul and Silas's honesty and integrity and earth-shaking faith that he asked, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to believe like you do? What must I do to know the God that you know who shook this prison to its core?" And so because of Paul and Silas' simple faith and timely witness, the jailer and his whole household, that's his whole family, maybe even servants or slaves in his household, they were all converted to Christ that very night and baptized that night. So facing troubles then and today means that we have an opportunity to exercise our faith, because faith is like a muscle. It must be exercised and exerted if it is to grow strong. Of course, like learning to lift weights, it helps to have the help and support of others. Now, when a person lifts weights, especially when they bench press, when they're lying on their back on a bench and lifting up 80, 100, 150, 200 pounds straight over their head and over their shoulders, in a weight room, other lifters who are standing around waiting their turn will spot those who are lifting. They'll stand nearby to help lift the weight if it becomes a little too much for the person on the bench to hold up. They won't take the weight away from the lifter. They'll just lift 10, 20, 30 pounds of pressure off of it so that the weightlifter can go ahead and push it up and rack the weight in the supports above their head. One reason that our church fellowship exists is so that we can spot each other. We can give the support and encouragement for one another. And in the final analysis, no matter how many or how few other believers are supporting you and spotting you, it's important for us to realize that we are never truly alone in our troubles and our trials, in our tests. The apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it." For Paul and Silas, the way out was the earthquake. And the result was the jailer and his family were won to Christ and baptized that very night. This means that Christ is over all. The fact is, Jesus Christ is in the business of changing lives. Changing lives and changing those lives for the better. Christ changed the lives of Paul and Silas that night in Philippi and the jail in the prison. they learned a tremendous lesson about the faithfulness of God to us. One that they could pass on to others. They learned that God sustains us in thick and thin when we're in good times and bad times. God sustains us. And Christ changed the life of the Philippian jailer and his family. He came to know Christ as Savior and Lord that night as a result of that earthquake faith. A strong church was established in Philippi because of that night of faith and faithful witnessing. Later on, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Philippian Christians. It's in the New Testament. It's after the books of Galatians and Ephesians. The book of Philippians is often called the letter of joy because 13 or 14 times throughout that short letter, he used the word joy or rejoice. Again and again, he talked about how joyful those believers were and how much joy they gave him, the joy of the Lord, because their faith with so many of the new believers found their faith because of the earthquake faith of Paul and Silas that night. And Jesus Christ will change the life of everyone, your life, my life, everyone's life, anyone's life, who will trust in him and obey him and turn their lives to him. So let us dedicate ourselves to Christ. Let us remember that he will always be there to give us strength and sustain us. Now, there's a story one time of a father who was holding his three-year-old boy as they were standing. He was standing in the middle of a pool at a neighbor's house, and he's holding his boy on his shoulder, and dad decided to have a little fun, and he started slowly walking to the deep end of the pool, saying, deeper and deeper and deeper. And the water rose higher and higher and got up over the boy's feet and then his knees. He clung tighter and tighter to dad, who, of course, his feet easily reached the bottom. And then dad stopped before he went too far. But had the little boy been able to analyze the situation, he would have realized that there was no reason to worry or to be scared, because the water's depth was too much for him anywhere in the pool, even in the shallow end of the pool. It was too much for him. That everywhere he was in the pool, he was dependent on his father, and his safety depended on his father, who was trustworthy, absolutely trustworthy, and not going to let his son fall into the water. Well, at various points in our lives, all of us feel like we are getting out of our depth. The problems around us, a job is lost, a friend or a loved one dies, others disapprove of us, times come hard, instances happen. Our temptation is to panic because we feel like we've lost control. But like the little boy in the pool, we never truly are in control of the most valuable things in life. We are always held up by the grace of our Heavenly Father. And that does not change whatever our circumstances might be, whatever the weather might bring. God is never out of His depth. And therefore, we are as safe as ever, no matter how deep we go in our circumstances in life. The Lord is always there to lift us up. So, remember the earthquake faith of Paul and Silas. Trust in the Lord in all times, in all things. And maybe he'll do a little bit of shaking in your life as well. Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious Lord, we thank you that you have loved us so greatly. You do not leave us alone. You do not leave us alone in our troubles, our trials, our tests. You're with us in our good times, in our great times, in the times that we know that you have blessed us. And you're with us in the more difficult times. Whatever life may give us, Lord, from day to day, good times, trial times, or mediocre times, Lord, help us know that you are always with us. You will never let anything come against us that we cannot handle with your strength in us. And you will always give us a way a way to survive, a way to bear it up, a way to go on with your strength, with your guidance, with your leadership. Lord, help us to appreciate the earthquake faith of Paul and Silas. And Lord, from time to time, do a little shaking in our lives as well, because we know you can always hear our prayers, answer our prayers, and give us the strength we need. For we pray this and ask this in Christ's name. Amen.